So what's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of Stay Till the Credits. My name is Sebastian.
My name is JP Quintana.
And today we're going to be talking about the Suicide Squad, not Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad.
The good one.
The good one. This one came out a couple days ago. Almost like a week ago, I guess.
Almost a week.
But yeah, this was directed by James Gunn, who directed Guardians of the Galaxy Volumes 1 and 2. He also made a bunch of other good stuff. Highly recommend you check out some of his other work, like Super or Slither or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Super is a very underrated movie with Dwight from The Office, if you haven't seen it.
Rainn Wilson. But this movie, just general thoughts right off the bat, really good, really fun.
I loved it.
I love it too. I think it's my favorite DC movie.
For sure.
For sure, favorite DC extended universe movie, because apparently this still is in it. But I think also one of my favorite DC movies as a whole that they've ever made.
As a DCEU, yes, I have to agree. It's probably number one at the moment. And but yes, I mean, there is other DC movies like the Christopher Nolan trilogy with the Batman, but that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. We'll talk about that some other time. But right now we're going to talk about this. The Suicide Squad, they're dying to save the world. So like this movie, I think the first one is PG-13. They didn't commit to like an R rating. This one commits to an R rating, and I think it works out for the better, because it has a lot of gore, a lot of death, and sometimes it feels like Mortal Kombat. Like, it feels kind of gratuitous, but like it's in an enjoyable way, like in like a cool way, you know?
Yeah,
it's not,
it definitely
like,
helps the film a lot.
Yeah, I think it makes for like a really fun movie, because like that's what you'd expect out of like the Suicide Squad. You know, and there's like a lot of comics that are like bloody and gory, and I don't know why people don't think that you can make a comic book movie like that. Like, you know, there's very rare rated R movies, but I think this one works really well.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I want, since you mentioned the way that people complain about how some movies are made. So we have already praised the movie a lot in this, on the episode has barely started, but some people I've already seen don't like it because they prefer the more serious tone and everything. And I follow this account called JStubes, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. There's a very cool, smart gal that does a lot of comic books reviews, or not reviews, a lot of movie reviews on TikTok. And she, you know, she has a very popular page, I think a million followers. But she mentioned that she did like the whole rating of the DCEU universe, like how we did this thing that the Suicide Squad now is the number one in her list. And I agreed with her list.
Yeah, I agree.
But some people are saying that the first one was better because, and I don't know how those people are crazy.
If like the David Ayer cut was like released and it was like his vision, maybe I could see like how someone would be able to prefer it.
Yeah.
But in the state it is right now, I would say no. Like,
yeah, no, definitely not.
Look, I think this is the thing, right? When the first one came out, everyone's like, oh, it's garbage, right? But now that someone new is doing the like their own version, and like people are praising that one, we have like defenders that are like coming up and saying like, oh no, the first one is way better.
Yeah.
It's like the prequel and the sequel trilogy.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's the same thing. People just want to like argue, I guess, or like they want to try to be different.
Change.
Yeah.
Yes, but in James Soo's review, she would give explanations about each movie, and she ranked Batman versus Superman pretty low on her list. And I mean, the
I would
reason,
agree. I would agree.
yeah, I would agree too. But the reason that she gave on her list was that it was very boring, or not boring, but that they made it so serious for no reason, and they give like 15 minutes of action.
Yeah, that's like when I saw Man of Steel, I saw it. I don't remember that much, but I remember being like not that entertained until like the end. And when I saw Batman v Superman, I also was very bored until like the end. But I think there's a difference because like you can have a movie that has like a lot of dialogue. Like the Christopher Nolan movies, they have a lot of dialogue, they have a lot of exposition, but they
Yeah,
also
they're
have
pretty long too.
good like dialogue, or like they have like he shoots everything else in an interesting way. So like when I watch The Dark Knight, I mainly watch it for Heath Ledger's The Joker. But the rest of the movie, I'm pretty entertained like throughout the whole way, even though it's like almost 3 hours long, or I guess Dark Knight Rises is almost 3 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all about the Joker, but in the
No,
whole scenes
but
that are
I'm
not even
saying
with the
like,
Joker, like they're still
yeah,
good.
like they're still good, but like mainly when I rewatch it, I rewatch it for Heath Ledger. But I still think the movie as a whole like is good. Like
Yeah.
I'm not bored in that movie like I am with like Batman v Superman or Man of Steel or
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, the first one.
Yeah, and that was a big discussion early on in the DCEU, saying that Marvel movies are all colorful and goofy and too many jokes here and there. And some people actually prefer like the more serious tone that the DCEU took at the beginning. But I guess it just wasn't working out, you
I
know?
mean, I can see why people would prefer that over the Marvel thing, but like I said, like I think it only should work in like certain characters. Like if you have Batman make a serious movie,
Yes, of course. With him,
right?
it makes sense.
Yeah, because it's Batman. But if you have like a guy like Superman, Super's not supposed to be like brooding or like it's like super serious. He's supposed to give people hope. So I would imagine the more like lighthearted tone. Excuse me. But yeah, not to talk about the rest of the DCEU that much. This
No,
movie,
it's just I just had to mention it because
yeah.
people were saying that it just
Yeah,
doesn't work because since James Gunn did direct the Guardians of the Galaxy, if some people were saying that he just wanted to make the Guardians of the Galaxy in the DCEU. And I don't agree with that.
I mean, I get the similarities that it's like a ragtag like group of like misfits, I guess, but other than that. Like shut up, like just go watch this movie, man. Like, and if you don't like it, like that's your opinion, right? Like you're entitled to your opinion, but we really enjoyed this movie. So to talk about this movie for like it's just really fun. Like it's like I think the pacing is pretty well done. It has a really good cast, a really good ensemble. So you got Margot Robbie again, you got Idris Elba. You have John Cena, you have Joel Kinnaman, who's returning from the previous one. Sylvester Stallone voices King Shark, the one of the better characters. Viola Davis returns, and she's even better in this movie, I think. She's one of the
Oh,
things
yeah.
that she's one of the things I like about the first one, just like her performance and like the casting. And then we have a bunch of other people, like Peter Capaldi, Jai Courtney returns as Captain Boomerang.
Michael
We have
Rooker.
Michael Rooker, Pete Davidson. We have David Dasmalchian. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Dasmalchian.
Did
He's
you say
Bogota
Taika
Man.
Waititi?
Oh yeah, Taika Waititi has like a small, like two small cameos. We have Daniela Melchior or Melchior. She plays Ratcatcher. Yeah, I mean, we have Nathan Fillion, who's always in James Gunn's movies.
Nathan Fillion is awesome.
We have Sean Gunn, who's also in James Gunn movies because they're brothers. We have Flula Borg. We have a bunch of people. We have a bunch of people. Okay.
The whole point of this is that the Suicide Squad has an amazing cast, and not just like the main cast that we know, like Margot Robbie and everything. We got to appreciate everyone's role because everyone did an amazing job in this movie.
Even like the people who aren't in the movie for that long.
not to spoil. We're not gonna talk about spoilers right away. Don't worry about that if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So just to talk a little bit about the plot. So Amanda Waller's back, Viola Davis. She's sending Task Force X again, because they're sending the team to the South American island called Corto Maltese, whatever.
Because is that a real island, by the way? Because I really don't know. I didn't Google it. I didn't do the research.
No, it's a DC thing. It's a DC thing.
Oh, okay. I really didn't know.
Yeah. So it's government. The island of the nation of Corto Maltese. Its government is being overthrown by an anti-American regime, and you know, we can't have anti-America. So Amanda Waller sends a team of all the Bell Rev or Bell Reeve inmates again to stop these guys, because they have this technology that's supposed to be like anti-American, that's supposed to like destroy like America or like whoever. It's called Project Starfish, which is like this Nazi thing, which we'll talk about more later. So they send in a team, right? So we got Peacemaker played by John Cena, we have King Shark, Sylvester Stallone, we got Polka Dot Man, who is David. I forget his last name, I'm sorry. And then we have Ratcatcher, and we have what's his name? Bloodsport, played by Idris Elba. So yeah, we have another ragtag group of misfits. We don't have the same ones as last time, with a couple exceptions. Right. So what do you think about this lineup, JP? What do you think about Polka Dot Man, Ratcatcher, Peacemaker, King Shark?
Well, I saw recently on Twitter, James Gunn, someone quoted James Gunn saying, who is the most stupidest character, the stupidest named character that you can think of? And he found Polka Dot Man, and he was like, I need this man, and he's going to be in the movie. The thinking that James Gunn did behind, like, all the characters that he included is amazing. I had never heard of these characters. Like I said in the past episode that I'm not like the biggest like avid DC comic book reader, so I don't know a lot of characters. But the way that all these characters are introduced, especially Polka Dot Man, amazing. I fell in love with it immediately. And David Dashmalshi, and I can't pronounce his. I'm sorry for butchering his last name. I mean, I already knew him from Ant-Man, like, and Ant-Man, he was hilarious. I'm sorry that I don't know more about his like acting work. But in Ant-Man, he was hilarious. And in this movie, there's no exception.
It's really good. Like Polka Dot Man surprised me, because I had knew about him from Batman, The Brave and the Bold, that cartoon, because it had a bunch of like random, obscure Batman villains. And I like that this movie did that too, because it's like, when you have like a huge ensemble like this, and like the whole premise of the movie is that like these characters are gonna die, of course you would get like obscure characters like Polka Dot Man, you would get a rat catcher, you would get the dismembering kid, or what's it called, whatever his name TDK. Is yeah TDK. Yeah, dismembering kid. You get like Javelin, you get Mongal, right? Because you don't want to see like beloved villains like
For people that are disappointed that I don't know that many DC villains or whatever, I'm sorry. I only know the main ones, like the ones that come on like in the Batman games. Because, by the way, the Batman games, I love them, like the Arkham games. But yes, I only know those characters. But
yeah, I mean,
thank you, James Gunn, for introducing me to these characters.
Yeah, and so if this movie gets a sequel, I want to see like a lot more obscure characters. Like I want to see Kite Man. I want to see Clock King. I want to see...
What's the one with the ketchup and mustard?
Condiment King, yeah.
Yes. he came out in the Lego Batman movie. I know about that one.
Yeah, that's another thing. I love Lego Batman movie because it also showed off a bunch of obscure like Batman villains.
Yes, the Lego Batman movie is very underrated. I think it's probably one of my favorite Lego movies.
Honestly, that's my favorite Batman movie. Like, I think that's
one of the best ones. Honestly,
I think that's the best one in my opinion.
It is super, super underrated. I don't know the rating on it, but I would give it like a 90-something%.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. If you haven't seen Lego Batman, watch it. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. By the way, sorry. Just small thing. We didn't mention that right now, the Suicide Squad 2021, of course, is rated at a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes in comparison to Suicide Squad from 2016, which is 26. And the rating for this one is fluctuating like up and down. I've seen it up to 100. I've seen it 99. I've seen it 90. Now it's at 91, then 96, but everything. The point is, like, there's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think Suicide Squad deserves a 0%. but yeah, whatever. So we got introduced to a bunch of obscure characters, and I love it. I love that we're following, because we're getting introduced to these characters, and I like that they actually get developed in this movie, like a good amount. Like Idris Elba's character, he's basically kind of like Deadshot in the previous movie. He can turn a weapon, or he can make a weapon out of anything, or like he can kill you out of anything, basically.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the last episode that it was speculated that Bloodsport was going to have a very similar backstory to Will Smith's character Deadshot.
Yeah, and it is similar. They both have a daughter, right? But they both kind of act different. Like I just Elba's more like, I guess, mean to his daughter. Like he doesn't really like show interest in her at first, whereas Deadshot gets humanized by actually caring about his daughter, right? Like he doesn't shoot Batman because his daughter gets in the way. So yeah, it's very similar but also very different, which I like. I like they didn't repeat like the same thing. Although they kind of did, because Peacemaker, he's kind of similar to Bloodsport also. Like they have they butt heads at the beginning because they're like, they do the same thing. And then
yeah, the way that John Cena's character Peacemaker is introduced is, I mean, well, first he introduced Bloodsport saying that he can like he's a very I don't know how to say it. He's good with weapons or anything, and he can make anything into a weapon.
Yeah.
And then the Viola Davis' character introduces Peacemaker the same way, the exact same, like word for word. And the Bloodsport is like, what? That's me. You said this is going to be everyone with unique personalities and powers. Is that, and John Cena's character is like, yeah, but I do it better.
And they butt heads like that. And then it pays off at the end, which we'll talk about at the end. So you got Bloodsport, you got Peacemaker, then you have King Shark, the Nahue, played by Sylvester Stallone.
Love him.
The cutest murdering shark man ever. He has like the brain of like a 5-year-old child. It's so good. It's so cute. He's like
Sylvester Stallone is this character. The voice is amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. It's
so perfect.
He has like 10 lines, but they're so good. I've been seeing a lot of TikTok edits about King Shark.
Definitely. Talk about TikTok. Yeah, I've seen way too many about... First, the video starts with like, who got you smiling like that?
Yeah.
And then they put the clips of King Shark. But I've also seen a lot about Ratcatcher.
Yeah, Ratcatcher, yeah. She's cute. I like her. I like her backstory. Like I said, everyone gets developed.
Very well.
Everyone gets developed... Except maybe, I guess King Shark doesn't get that much development, or like you don't get his backstory that much.
Yeah. Like, that's a very big difference to like Suicide Squad 2016, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because in that movie, it's like, what? Like, Like,
they just get introduced, but they barely get any backstory apart
You're supposed to care. You're supposed to care for the characters in the first one, I guess. But no one really dies except Slipknot, and like you don't feel them like coming together as a team. Whereas in this, you do. Like, I guess King Shark does have development actually, because he goes from having no friends to having a bunch of friends, right? Like that's his character.
Family.
Yeah, like Vin Diesel once said many times. But that's just one team. I guess we can say now that there's two teams. Because, like I said, there's a really big cast. And I feel like a lot of people thought that, like, oh of course, like, a bunch of people are going to die in this movie. Because, like, you don't make a movie with that
many. It is a Suicide Squad.
So. Yeah, you don't make a movie with that many characters in a Suicide Squad movie. And expect all of them to live.
Yeah, but should we talk about the spoilers now?
I mean, I get. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, screw it. Yeah, okay, so spoilers for the beginning of this movie. Because it opens up on team, I guess it's team one.
So it starts off right away.
It starts off right away. But you get like minimal introduction to what's going on. You get introduced to Michael Rooker. He plays Savant. He's like, I don't know. I guess he's like another Bloodshot or another Bloodsport, I mean, or like another Peacemaker, because he's good at killing, I guess. He's like a badass. He kills a little bird with a bouncy ball. He gets recruited into the Suicide Squad, and he meets Rick Flagg, who returns from the first one, Harley Quinn, Captain Boomerang, also returning. And then there's a bunch of other characters like Mong Gao.
Weasel,
Javelin, Blackguard, Nathan Fillion, you know, TDK, the detachable kid.
So many characters.
And I think that's I think I named all of them from that team. So yeah, they go on the helicopter and they have this funny interaction where like Pete Davidson's like, yo, is this a dog? And he's referring to Weasel, and Weasel looks nothing like a dog. Like if I saw Weasel at a dog park, I would call like the SWAT team or something. You know?
The SWAT team.
And he's just like, "Is this a dog?" And then Captain Boomerang's like, "Dude,
what
like,
kind of dog, mate?
what kind of dog?" And then Nathan Fillion also chimes in like just really dumb. He's like, I think it's an Afghan hound. And then Harley Quinn is like, oh, is that a werewolf? I've always wanted to meet a werewolf. And then that makes Pete Davidson just freak out in the helicopter.
I don't werewolves.
Yeah. And you know, I like that Rick Flagg came back, because you do feel like he's the only guy that would be able to lead the Suicide Squad.
By the way, Rick Flagg's glow up, bro.
Dude, yes, he looks way happier in this movie. I think he broke up with the Enchantress.
Definitely.
He got some bitches now. He he shaved his like goatee thing. He grew out his hair.
He looks so good. Like but geez.
He looks really good. That shirt, man, like that shirt he wears later in the movies.
Yeah, I definitely stand Rick Flagg in this movie for sure.
In the first one, he's like a generic military dude. Like he's like kind of antagonistic, right?
Yeah.
In this one, he's actually good. He's really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
James Gunn is just amazing. He can write every character perfectly.
Who wrote this?
I think it was James Gunn.
Oh yeah, he did write it too. Wow. Yeah.
You see? Perfect. You see?
He wrote Scooby-Doo.
So. Yeah, it's Scooby-Doo. If you didn't, I actually didn't know about he did Scooby-Doo until like a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's cool. So anyway, yeah, you get the feeling that Rick Flagg's the only guy that's able to lead the team, because everyone is a freaking idiot. We find that out in like the first
immediately.
Pete Davidson when they drop from the helicopter, Weasel drowns because he can't swim. No one bothered to check if Weasel could swim. Weasel just drowns.
I remember because Sebastian and I saw this movie together.
Yeah, we saw it together.
And I was like literally seconds before, like, Weasel drowned, I was like, oh yeah, who do you think is gonna die first? And he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe like Javelin or something. I don't remember what he said.
We both said that that Michael Rooker was gonna die first because he had gotten like they were focusing on him, and they're focusing on him a lot, like being this badass, and we were like, oh, it'd be cool if he died first. But then Weasel drops right behind him and just drowns.
It was really funny.
Yeah. And so, yeah, after Weasel drowns, they're in a beach, and they all, like, they're surrounded by, like, the military. And then Pete Davidson, idiot, sells out the rest of the Suicide Squad. He puts his hands up in the air. He's like, guys, I got who, like, I brought them. Like, you can let me go, right? Like, they're right behind me. And then he gets shot in the face.
His whole face was blown up.
Half of his head
crazy.
Looks like a watermelon. It's so sick. His body just like falls. And then yeah. And then Rick Flag is like, dude, like he calls Amanda Waller. He's like, dude, we gotta get out of here. We're gonna retreat. Cause like there's no way. And Amanda Waller's like, nah, whatever. I don't care about you guys. Just keep doing the mission. Cause she's cold like that. And yeah. so everyone goes to do something. You finally see Captain Boomerang throw his boomerangs and he like basically like almost decapitates the dude.
He cut off like basically his brain out of his skull.
Yeah.
And I remember when Captain Boomerang threw his boomerang, I remember Sebastian screamed like, oh my god, he finally threw his boomerang.
Yeah, I was like, because in the first movie he mainly uses them to like slice.
I really don't remember him throwing a boomerang in the first movie.
He throws it like 3 times. But I like that in this one, right away, he throws it. And it's like, it looks like it's made out of light or something. Like, it looks cool, like comic accurate. And then everyone starts fighting. The guys with guns start shooting. And then Mongao, she's like, I'll take care of the helicopter. And she jumps on the helicopter. And she manages to kill a bunch of dudes. But when the helicopter comes crashing down, a lot of other people die, including Captain Boomerang. And
yeah, I definitely did not expect Captain Boomerang to die right away.
I did because, well, I didn't expect him to die right away, but I knew he was going to die because when I was looking at images to make the thumbnail for this video, which I mean, it hasn't gone up, but I made the thumbnail in advance. I was looking up like references for Captain Boomerang. And he was barely in any of like the promotional posters. And I was like, oh, this dude's going to die. I know who the lineup is going to be, like the main lineup. And I just figured, oh yeah, he's going to die. But I didn't think he was going to die that early. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I mean, as soon as that happens, just everyone from that team dead. They're gone.
Yeah.
I knew this movie was going to be gory. But holy crap, it got so gory so quick.
Yeah,
it was like in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, that's one thing. I kind of wish like the deaths were like spread out, I guess, a bit more. Because
yeah, I was kind of thinking that.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been better, but I guess it does work because you're caught off guard because I'm pretty sure everyone thought, oh, like the roster's just gonna get smaller and smaller and smaller. But no, it's like immediate, like death and then really small roster, and then that's who you follow for the rest of the movie, so you have time to like care for these characters more because you're spending more time with them. And you feel like anyone can die except maybe Harley Quinn. You feel like anyone else can die.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it worked out, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah like it worked out because I think if you were to have like the other characters in those scenes, like when they're in the bar like dancing, or where they're, you know, doing other stuff, like it wouldn't have worked out the way it does now. But yeah, I mean, that's just a small nitpick. Like That's literally what it is. Just a nitpick, because I think the movie is really good.
Yes. But then now we finally focus on Team 2.
Yeah, Team 2, which who we talked
about.
Yeah, who we talked about before. Bloodsport, Peacemaker, King Shark, Polka Dot Man, Ratcatcher 2, and Milton.
Milton, dude, the real hero of this movie.
Milton, dude. Milton is just the dude that drives them, basically. Oh, right. I forgot to say that. After everyone pretty much dies, the only people that survive are Harley Quinn and Rick Flag. Harley Quinn gets taken prisoner, and Rick Flag gets captured by a rebel group, which leads to another funny scene where in like Team 2 basically just kills a bunch of like what they think are mercenaries, but it turns out it's the rebel group, and they all get wiped out.
Yeah, everyone thought that Rick Flag was captured by the rebel group, but in fact, he was rescued.
Yeah.
So the leader of the rebel group was like, hey, where's my people? And they were all obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Especially by Peacemaker and Bloodsport.
Yeah, oh, there's this cool part where like they're like Bloodsport and Peacemaker are showing off. And then Bloodsport's like, no one likes to show off. And Peacemaker's like, except what they're showing off is dope as fuck. and then Bloodsport like kind of just turns around, and he's like, crap, he's right. Like
it's true,
so
though.
It's so good. It's true. So yeah, everyone dies. So that scene reminded me a lot of Predator, like the first one, where they save that one girl. They just like torture, like, or like they don't torture. I mean, they just like obliterate the whole village. It reminded me a lot of that. I don't know if it's inspired by it, but that's just what I thought of.
It's your theory.
Yeah, well, it's not my theory. It's just like it reminded me of that one scene. So it's cooler now because I'm like, hey, that's like Predator. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the way that Peacemaker and Buster were killing everyone was just so elaborate. And yeah. but so cool, especially the one where he killed the person that was just sleeping, and he just sliced him like 5 times or like 10 times, like when he was sleeping. So yeah. Unnecessary, but so funny.
It's so cool. And then there's one guy that's rocking out with his cock out, and like he gets shot or he gets something happens. I don't know. But it's funny. So after that happens, they meet up with the leader of the rebellion. Her name is Sol Soria, who's played by, is it Alice Braga?
Alice Braga, yeah.
She was in the New Mutants. I don't know if you saw that one.
I didn't.
Okay, well, she was in the New Mutants. She was the doctor in that one. But whatever. She's cool here. She doesn't do much. Like,
yeah, well, she's not the main focus of the movie.
Yeah, she's not the main focus, even though, like, the movie is... Like it says, it's about like the rebellion of this country, but it's not really focused on that much, because the bigger problem comes later.
Yes, and what is that big problem?
Okay. Well, I guess I'll say it right now. So we have this other character called the Thinker, right, which is what the group is after. They want him to tell them the location. Or not the location of Project Starfish, but like how to get into Project Starfish. So the Thinker is played by Peter Capaldi. He was like the 12th or the 13th Doctor in Doctor Who. I don't know my Doctor numbers. Yeah, but he plays the guy controlling Project Starfish, which is Starro the Conqueror. So if you're familiar with DC Comics, you know him from the first Justice League. That's where they teamed up for the first time. And he's
a
really
giant cool. Starfish, if you didn't know.
he's really cool in this movie. Like, it's the right, I think it's the right level of goofy, because it's like obscure enough to be like, oh yeah, I can see it in this movie, but it's also really scary. Like, he's like, not scary, because he didn't scare me, but if he was real, I would be scared of that.
No, but the concept of like the way that he was I guess taking over, you know.
Yeah, because it's sick that like the stars like latch onto your faces, kind of like the face hugger from Alien.
And yeah, instantly remind of Alien.
And he just controls you. And there's one where they like try to rip off the alien or like the star off a dude, and it's like just like his face is like carved in the shape of a star. It's sick. And so that's the whole point of this movie. Like they don't know about the starfish yet, all the characters, but they want to get to the guy that can let them into the building. And meanwhile, Harley's like doing her own thing before she meets up with the rest of her friends, I guess. Which I don't know. What did you think about the Harley stuff? Because I have like a small like opinion on it.
Well, like you mean before she met up with the team?
Yeah, like before she met up with the team, like with the team, like her stuff okay. by herself.
Well, I thought she had pretty great scenes. I mean, honestly, I mean, in my opinion, that I mean, she was captured by the government from the country, and then dropped something. She was captured by the government of the team, and then they told her that the president wants to see her because the president wants to marry her and everything. And he says this whole speech about taking over or whatever and taking over the Americans and whatever. And obviously she kills him right away. And she's like, hey, you know what? I am not taking this toxicity.
Well, that's after they have sex.
Oh, yes. After. Yeah. She enjoys her time with him for a little bit. And then he's like, oh yeah, I want to make you my wife. And then that's when she kills him, saying like, yeah, no, I'm not taking this, like whatever. And when I was watching the movie, my girlfriend pointed out that she had a tattoo on her shoulder, the back of her shoulder. And in the Suicide Squad, the original one, the 2016 one, it said property of Joker. And in this movie, it changed to property of no one. Because from Suicide Squad to Birds of Prey to now, like, she's grown. And I really, really like her story.
Yeah. I agree. I like that she has the development like that. I didn't even notice the tattoo. I knew you guys were pointing it out while the movie was happening, but I don't remember like what the tattoo said. But I do like that she got development. But one thing I don't like about her scenes is that I knew that she was going to be safe because it's Harley Quinn. Like she's probably the best thing from the DCEU, like besides this movie, like just like the best thing, probably like the most marketable thing probably that the DCEU has. So like, obviously you want to milk it and make like 9 movies with Harley Quinn, right?
Yeah.
Or like,
I mean, especially since people aren't sure if, like, for example, Superman's going to come back, Henry Cavill. At first we didn't know that Batfleck was going to come back for Batman, but it's been revealed that he's going to come out in the Flash movie. And, I mean, if you don't have your 2 major selling points in the DC, you know, Batman and Superman, you're probably going to want to get Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and especially since it's Margot Robbie, she's great. Like, obviously, you don't want to kill off Harley Quinn. Or if you do, I guess, kill her off, you'd have to find some way to bring her back. But yeah, that's just, like, another small nitpick. That whenever I saw the scenes with Harley, I never felt like she was in danger.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way, too. But, I mean, in my opinion, I thought it was cool. Because yeah, I like her a lot.
I like the scene that her scene after the one with the president, because it's her getting tortured. She kills the dude that's torturing her. She steals the key from his like pants. She uses her feet, which is all her. It's all Margot Robbie, like you said. And then she just goes on the killing spree. And then once she heads outside, she sees that Rick Flag, Bloodsport, and everyone else is planning to break her out of the building, and she's like, I can go back in and you can try it again. And I think that scene is really cute.
It's fun interaction they have.
It's really cute. I love that Rick Flagg and Harley have this like friendship. Or because in the first movie, it's like Harley's like, she's like says that like, oh yeah, they're all friends, or like kind of, I don't know. Rick Flagg hugs what's his name, Deadshot, Will Smith in that movie, but you don't feel it. In this one, you do. Like Harley hugs Rick Flagg, and Rick Flagg's kind of awkward about it, but he does like, he does care about Harley. And
honestly, I shipped him.
Honestly, yeah, I thought that's what they were going for. But no.
Obviously, they went a different direction for the people that know the movie.
Yeah. And I think a scene that came before is when they're at the bar. So they get picked up by Milton. They get disguises. They go to a bar, and they're just having a good time. They're having drinks. They're dancing, and it's just really good.
Dude, everyone got drinks except one person.
Oh yeah, or
someone. Do you know who?
The poor baby boy, King Shark. He couldn't get drinks because he didn't have a disguise. Not even a fake mustache.
That's something we haven't talked about much, dude. King Shark, his interaction. I mean, we know we talked about the everyone like loves him, but we haven't talked about like the actual scenes, you know. And before that whole thing with the bar, I mean, he wanted to have the fake mustache, and then Bloodsport, he's like everyone just bullies him, dude.
They bully him, but I feel like it's more like a big brother, little brother type of deal.
Yeah, probably, definitely. But it's so funny because he gets so mad. And like a lot of people are saying like, oh, best lines of King Shark. And it's like, bird or something else like that. But the one that made me laugh the most was when Bloodsport just puts him down after the fake mustache. And he's just like, fuck!
Yeah, I remember laughing out loud because I wasn't expecting him to say like the F word. It was just really funny because he acts like very like innocent, like very young, very naive, but it was just funny to hear him swear.
Yeah, it was really funny.
And talking about the bus, or like scenes that happen before he's alone in the bus. There's a scene where he like looks out the window from the bus, and it's like the cutest thing ever.
Yes, that was so funny and cute.
I saw
something on TikTok about sharks, like real life sharks, and this guy. I don't know if you
saw. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that too. Where that,
I mean, they don't have emotions, obviously.
Yeah. Like anything King Shark does in this movie, it's something that a shark would be able to do in real life. Because usually when you see King Shark in like the comics or in like other stuff, like in the Flash TV show, he's like big, muscly. He's very expressive. Or I know the comics have played around with his design a lot too. But in this one, in this movie, he just has the head of like a great white shark.
Exactly.
Like it's super cute. And it's realistic, I guess. As realistic as you can get, it's like having a shark man. But I think it works so well. Like sometimes less is more. Like sometimes it's about simplicity.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean.
Oh, dude, and his shorts.
Oh, yeah. They're very cute. But yes, his emotions, I mean, we all know a shark in real life does not have emotions. They just have big, black, like expressionless eyes.
Like a doll.
Yes, exactly. And
oh, you haven't seen Jaws, no, right?
No, I actually have not seen Jaws.
Okay, because I was quoting Jaws.
Thank you for exposing me to the people who love Jaws or something.
It's cool.
Yes, but like I said, he doesn't have like they don't have emotions. But the way that James Gunn directed this and the way that they did it was so amazing because even though he doesn't, you know, smile or have like, you know, like a normal emotions that a person would have, you can feel the emotions that he has.
Yeah, and now you're talking about emotions, I want to talk about the bus, because like during that bus is when Ratcatcher reveals, she's Ratcatcher 2, So we find out what happened to Ratcatcher 1, played by Taika Waititi. He was a heroin addict. So they were homeless, and they found a way to control rats, which is why she's called Ratcatcher. And then you find out why Idris Elba is afraid of rats, because you get his backstory that his dad like locked him in a crate for 24 hours with a bunch of rats. And that's something we haven't talked about either. The Ratcatcher 2 has a pet rat named Sebastian.
Yeah, like you.
My name. I'm the rat. who's also really cute. He gets to drink with all of them. But yeah, I like I said before, I like the development of all these characters. Because like these are some of the only ones that get like really developed, like Ratcatcher, Bloodsport, and Polka Dot Man, and King Shark.
Really fantastic job. I mean, like I said before, the Ratcatcher is being stanned like a lot on TikTok. And I mean, I can see why.
I like her because like at the beginning of the movie, she's like she like falls asleep a lot, and she's like a very heavy sleeper. But then you find out why, because like because the way she would fall asleep was like being surrounded like by a bunch of rats, like in the dirt, in the cold, right? So compare that to sleeping anywhere else, you'd probably be able to have like the best night's sleep anywhere else.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Now we gotta talk about the actual the whole deal with the secrets of this Project Starfish, you know.
Okay, yeah. So look, the squad goes to the building, it's called Jotunheim. It's the whole squad and Milton and
I gotta say, it's so funny that everyone is going ready with their guns and weapons, all going to go into the Jotunheim building, whatever. And just Milton, you can see him, and he's so excited, and he joins out of nowhere.
Dude, that was so funny because I didn't notice that the first time I saw this movie. Like, I don't remember seeing him in the rain. Like it's like the coolest shot. Everyone's smiling at each other, and then Milton pops up. Like once everyone's in frame, then Milton shows up like at the very end, and it's so funny.
It's so funny how he just includes himself.
Yeah, it's so good. And like no one noticed he was there except for Polka Dot Man. So yeah, the group separates. Some of them are planting bombs. Some of them are taking, what's his face, Peter Capaldi, the Thinker. They're taking him to the basement where we find out about Starro and all the mind control stuff that he was doing. And Peacemaker, he was supposed to be planting bombs, but once he sees Rick Flag going down, he goes with them. And when they're down there, Rick Flag is like, he finds out that Amanda Waller doesn't want to like destroy the Project Starfish itself. She just wants to destroy the evidence of the U.S. government's involvement in Project Starfish. Because Project Starfish, Starro, was discovered by American astronauts and scientists. So.
Yes. And John Cena's character, the Peacemaker, for those who don't know, I mean, he says a little, like, his backstory that, like, he'll do anything to keep the peace, even if it involves killing everyone.
Yeah, women or, and children.
Yeah, he's or like, how he said that he if keeping the peace, he had to eat every penis in the beach, he would do it.
Yeah, and I like that Idris Elba calls him out, because he's like, I think you're just saying that so that you can do like whatever you want, basically. Which, I mean, not to get political, but this movie has a lot of like anti-American commentary, like. Not just from like the Corto Maltesans, Mario Kart dudes, whatever, but like it has a lot of anti-American commentary from like the characters itself, like Rick Flag. Like, yeah. Where in the first one you think he's like, oh yeah, he'd die for this country. In this one, you feel like he wouldn't. He would expose his country because he's been fighting for this country.
I mean, that's what he was trying to do in this movie. trying to expose.
So when he finds that out, he tries to expose what the U.S. government did. But Peacemaker's like, no, I gotta kill you, dog. Like, I can't do that. I gotta keep the peace. Which
they had a really epic fight, I gotta say.
Yeah. So Starro the Conqueror breaks out, and there's a bomb, leading to Starro getting out, and then like the roof collapses on Rick Flag and John Cena. And then there's this, when they wake up, there's this cool fight shot through like their perspective of like the helmet and the reflection. Yes. It's super sick. It's so good. And they fight, and Rick Flag unfortunately dies. Yeah. Which I think was pretty
really cool. I really didn't expect him to die.
I mean, I
wanted him to live.
I wanted him to live, and that's saying something, because if you were to ask me on the first one, I would be like, nah, kill everyone, you know? It's like, I don't care about the first one. But in this one, I'm surprised they make me care. They made me care about Rick Flag. Like, it was pretty cool. It's
just what good writing can do, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I would like to have seen him come back.
Yeah. I mean, especially with that whole interaction with Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Would have been great to see him again.
Like, they would have been so, not necessarily as a couple, but like, they would have a nice dynamic where, like, like Rick Flag is like the everyday, like average Joe kind of guy. And then like everyone around him is crazy and an idiot. And
yeah.
I guess Bloodsport does that too. Like he's kind of like pointing out how crazy everything is. But yeah, Rick Flag dies.
Yeah. That's something that we haven't talked about since we are talking about the Peacemaker in this. John Cena, his performance in this movie, it really shows that he can act. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know what you thought.
No, I thought it was good. I thought
it was really good in this movie.
I thought it was really good to see him, because from WWE, right, John Cena, he's always like the hero, the good guy. And in this movie, he plays the heel character, which the heel is like a wrestling term for like kind of like the bad guys, or like, you know, so it's cool to see him play a bad guy now. And I really like his performance. I think he's really good.
And it's a really good performance from someone that you can't even see.
Yeah, dude. Like, whenever he was on screen, it was just like a floating helmet.
Yeah, but but the invisible guy, you know, he performed it perfectly well.
Have you seen his Instagram?
Yeah, I've seen his Instagram. It's so funny. It's just like his clothes floating around.
Yeah. So Rick Flag dies. Milton dies. Rest in peace, Milton. No one knew he was there except Polka Dot Man. And that leads to this scene where Harley Quinn is like, who's Milton?
Milton was with us the whole time?
I feel like I would have known if there was a Milton with us. And yeah, it's just cool. The whole building is falling apart. Then Starro breaks out. He takes over a bunch of the army dudes and a bunch of the inhabitants. And it's up to the group to stop Starro.
Save the world.
Yeah.
Or save the people from there, yeah.
But before, Amanda Waller's like, nah, turn back, whatever. Like, just like let the star, like, kill whatever. Yeah. But
Amanda Waller doesn't want any involvement in this. Yeah, but of course, the team is like, no, we got to save them.
Yeah, the team acts like heroes and Amanda Waller's getting ready to blow them all up, but then one of her workers just hits her in the head with like a bat or something. I don't know what it was.
Really, really thought she was dead.
I thought so too, but I was like, there's no way they would kill Amanda Waller.
Yeah, when they revealed that she wasn't dead, I was like, oh, okay then, whatever. Yes.
So, it's the scene where they go up against Starro is so good, because Idris Elba, he has like this cool ass gun that he just like, he has like parts all over his armor that he just puts together.
It's a real life Nerf gun, dude.
Yeah, but it's sick because it kills people. And and Ratcatcher controls a bunch of rats to eat the hell out of the starfish.
Million rats, dude. Like, I don't know how many it was, but there were so many rats. And dude, I don't know about you, dude, but if my mom was there, she would scream her lungs out. She's terrified of rats.
Dude, Bloodsport probably shat himself.
Yeah, him also.
And then like Polka Dot Man is like, he's like shooting his polka dots. He like cuts off like the leg of Starro.
Oh, we he's, didn't like, mention his
he's
thing.
Picturing his mom, because that's what he does. He like imagines his mom everywhere.
The whole sequence of like sequences.
Yeah, because when he's in the club and he's like dancing with some honeys, he's grinding up against some hotties, and he's picturing his mom. when he attacks Starro, he sees a giant version of his mom breaking buildings and shit.
It's so funny, the whole interaction with him.
It's so good. His mom. And
By the way, I saw, I don't know where I saw, I don't know if it was on TikTok or on Twitter, that when Polka Dot saying his backstory about his mom was experimenting on him, some people say that maybe it introduces like the Condiment Man and the other people. I don't know the other characters, but
I don't know, because I don't know who his siblings are, but I guess
I don't know either.
If they are like the Condiment King, then like cool. I want to see him in the next Suicide Squad movie. And
definitely.
And Kite Man and a bunch of other random ass dudes like Catman. Yeah, whatever. Yes, so
of course Polka Dot Man, unfortunately,
he gets killed. And after
saying he's a superhero,
after feeling so happy that he's a superhero, he's helping take down Starro. He just gets squashed and it feels rough. You don't think anyone's gonna die at that point, because it's like the end of the movie, but I guess no one's safe still. But yeah, eventually Starro gets killed by Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn has javelin. She pierces his eye, pokes Starro's eye, and then a bunch of rats just go in swimming into the eye and just eat the hell out of the inside of the starfish. Oh, and I forgot to say also before that, when after Peacemaker kills Rick Flag, he and Bloodsport like shoot each other, and the bullets are like, and one of Bloodsport's bullet goes through Peacemaker's, and he shoots Peacemaker like right in the neck, which is payoff of what they talked about earlier, that they're if they shot each other, one gun would go through the other one because of smaller bullets or some stupid thing like that.
Yeah, it was really good payoff, and I mean Peacemaker deserved it.
Yeah, Peacemaker deserved to die. But unfortunately, he does not stay dead, because
Starro, if you dies, stayed it till the credits.
Yeah, after Starro dies, after Waller is like, Waller attempts to kill the squad, but the squad's like, nah, we have evidence, so you let us live, we don't put the evidence up. Yeah. And after all that, after the rebellion kills the president, in a post-credit scene and a mid-credit scene, we see Weasel is also alive. Weasel comes back. He has not drowned. He comes back. And Peacemaker is also alive.
Yeah. And he's like I said, if you stay to the credits,
yeah,
you'll see the Peacemaker.
That's our name. Okay. You get the reference.
if you stayed, then you'll see the Peacemaker is alive. And for those who didn't know, I don't know, did I mention it in the last episode? The Peacemaker was gonna have his own show on HBO Max, and James Gunn is working on that. I don't know if they're done filming it or I don't know, but yes, they are making a Peacemaker show. And that it's a funny thing that we mentioned, because throughout the whole movie, Sebastian was like, oh no, he's gonna die. And I was like, no, dude, but he's not gonna die because he's gonna have a show.
Yeah, I had said that he's gonna die, and then the show will be like a prequel, or in the case of what actually happened, he died, or died in air quotes, and then he didn't actually die.
Yeah, as soon as he collapsed after Bloodsport shoots him, I was like, okay, maybe I guess it's a prequel, but then we see the credits scene, and they say, oh no, dude, it's gonna be after.
Yeah, so which I guess cool. I don't know if I want to watch the Peacemaker show, because he killed Rick Flag and he was just kind of like
I'm still gonna watch it, dude. Because yeah, I love John Cena's performance.
I like James Gunn too, so I'll watch it. Yeah, whatever. I have nothing else to watch.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie. So like we said, this movie is really good. We missed a bunch of like we talked about it like out of order, but like who cares? Like just watch it for yourself. Or if you already watched it, then you know what I'm talking about. So like
exactly.
You know, like you don't need me to break it down for it.
Exactly. You don't need us to break it down for you guys, but don't worry. You're still going to enjoy the movie even if we miss some parts about talking about it.
Yeah.
This movie is amazing. And I wish that James Gunn continues to work in the DC. Actually, I wish he would direct so many more movies. By the way, I heard somewhere that he would be, it's not in the works right now, but he would be interested into making a Justice League versus the Suicide Squad movie.
Well, that reminds me. I know that the initial like plot of this, it wasn't going to be Starro. It was going to be the Suicide Squad against Superman.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
Yeah. So that sounds sick. I would love to see that because Superman is overpowered. Like, I can just imagine like the end scene, but like Superman just lasers through like polka dot.
I mean, have you seen that they're making a game?
Yeah, they're making a game. Yeah.
That's going to be the Suicide Squad versus the Superman. Justice. No, it's going to be Superman only.
Oh, it's only Superman?
Yeah, so it's exactly, it would be like the movie and then the game, exactly the game. But to my understanding, it's just Superman.
I thought it was the whole Justice League.
I think it's just Superman, but
no, but it's, please. I just looked it up. It's called Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Oh, okay. So, well, my mistake. But yes, I mean, it would be very interesting to see. Yeah, and Henry Cavill, please come back. Your performance as Superman was really good.
Yeah, look, I love Henry Cavill. I think he's good, but I think they need. I don't think Zack Snyder knows how to make Superman. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we gotta give someone like another director a shot with Henry Cavill.
And I think that'd be good. Like Sebastian can direct you.
No, not me. I'd be ass. I'd be. But look, this movie is basically like a soft reboot of the Suicide Squad.
So, but at the same time, it kind of, you know, just it is a sequel. But
yeah, like it could be a sequel. It could not be a sequel. It doesn't matter because it works both ways. But I feel like that's what someone should do with like Superman. If the Flash movie sucks, they can just do that with Flash. I'm happy that DC, I guess they did something different this time.
Yes.
Again. And I hope they learn from their mistakes. I hope they follow the example of this movie instead of other movies that they've done.
Yes, of course. But now let's rate it.
9 or either an 8 or a 9, I think, is my rate.
9 what?
Oh, I don't like doing the point whatever.
No, do it. No, I mean, you got to, like, what's the thing? I'm rating it 9 and always.
9 killer starfish out of 10.
Nice. Yeah,
or 9 dumb friends, new dumb friends.
Oh, dumb friends. Yeah, that's a good one, though. Yeah, 9 dumb friends out of 10. Yeah, my girlfriend rated it an 8.5 out of 10. And I was like, yeah, no, I like it more. So 9. Yeah, 9.
My girlfriend almost cried at like 3 points of the movie. So this is a good movie. If she cries in the movie, that means it's a good movie. And she cried almost 3 times in this one. So it's a really good movie.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you know it's a good movie. Yeah. Don't even look at the rating. That's how you know it's a good movie.
And don't look at any. Look, guys, when you're trying to watch a movie, don't look at ratings. Just watch a movie and form your own opinion.
Just enjoy it.
And then look at the rating and be like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Don't be sheep.
There you go. There you go. That's the end of the episode for the good Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's what they should call it, the good Suicide Squad.
All right, guys. Or do the outro?
I get. Yeah, look, man, I've been Sebastian. I like movies. This one's really good.
There you go. I've been JB Quintana. This is Stay to the Credits. Don't forget to watch on YouTube and subscribe. Follow us on all our social medias, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, anything you can think of. We have it. There you go. And that's been the episode. Thank you guys for watching and listening.
Don't forget, stay till the credits.
Stay till the credits.
Unless it's a super ass movie.
Yes, definitely agree.
All right. Bye, guys.